praise God, he gives us so many gifts, amen? And that's God's promise, God's heart, you know, that he bless us and give us every good and perfect gift. And the gifts that he gives us that we will use to bless others. And so we bless you, Hayden, we bless you all, our music people, and the ones rising up, the young ones growing up, Rashaan and Joshua and others there, that we're just looking forward to the time that God will be using them in our midst. Amen? That's really good. Enjoy the service this morning, Pastor Hans. Yes, I felt a really good word, really good encouraging word, and Gadgen and is it Kenneth, is it? That young African guy had received a great and powerful word from the Lord, and I'm sure they're encouraged by that. But it's about connecting to God, isn't it? And that was the crux of Hans' message this morning, how we're wonderfully made, and how we can fit in and blend together, you know, that try. What was the word? Try. Try something, he is. Yeah, really a great illustration of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, soul, mind, spirit, you know, how it all fits in together, how God's just used us all. So it's good to have visiting preachers and just give us another flavour of what God's doing. And so it's always good to have people come in that way. And Hans is a wonderful man, and got a real, he's powerful in his ministry, but he's got a real gentle spirit about him. And I felt that was felt this morning. It came through in a really great way. But tonight I just want to speak about, the hard sayings of Jesus. Often in life we find it sometimes very hard to say something to someone, don't we? To speak the truth, because we're afraid we're going to offend, we're going to hurt them or something like that. But as I said, we do that. We find it very hard to tell someone, you know, the real truth when that's often needed, you know. And, you know, where it all is in their lives or in our lives, you know, about giving advice and that type of thing. But, plainly, just trying to help someone at a time, you know, when help is desperately needed. But in speaking the truth and things like that, you know, for some of us, you know, we get frightened, don't we? And we're frightened to offend. You know, or break trust or disrupt a relationship that we might have, you know. But to some, it's anything for an easy life. And often we back off, don't we, about just telling someone, well, you know, this is how it is and this is how it's got to be. You know, we just don't want to hurt them at times. But there are times when we have to speak the truth. And often we know the truth hurts. But at the same time, it's probably the most important thing is how we deliver that message, how we speak that message, isn't it? That we don't cause that person or someone to feel that way. But what we see, particularly in the Gospels, about Jesus didn't pull any punches, amen? He spoke it as it was, you know. He was right up there just telling us this is how it is and that's how it's got to be. And if you look in the book of Matthew there in chapter 5 particularly, there where Jesus started off his earthly ministry and preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he spoke about the Beatitudes and, you know, how you're going to be a blessed people. And how that God will bless you. And he went through all those things about blessing and how we're going to be. He started to teach about, you know, about salt and light and the type of people that we were, and told us about, you know, not hiding, you know, the light that was within us, that is within us. But then he went on, he started to teach all about these things, and he spends about three chapters of just laying the facts of life out so to speak, you know, about, you know, godly living, what it means about, you know, how we are to live a godly life, how we are to follow the things that's all laid out there. And he went so through many, spoke about so many things. And I suppose the people that were hearing this, they're a bit worried and things like that. But, you know, Jesus knew that it had to be told. You know, he had to tell them the facts of life, and he had to point it in. It's about, you know, this is about God's word, this is God's way, and this is how you've got to live. If you're going to follow me, this is how you're going to have to live. And so Jesus went about there telling that. He said, if you want to be my disciples, then this is necessary. This is what has to done, and this is what you have to do. And so Jesus, he spoke about all the necessary requirements about belonging to the kingdom of God. And we know that about belonging to some organisations, you have to sign documents and abide by their rules and guidelines, don't we? We know that, sporting clubs, committees and all that, school things, so many places and things where we have to abide by their rules. And so what's so different about the kingdom of God? You know, this is the book of rules laid down for us, isn't it? The things that we have to follow and live by. And so that's what God wants for us in our lives. But so Jesus here, he starts reiterating all these things and just more or less updating. This was spoken of in Moses' time, you know, all these sorts of things. And so it is coming to, again, but in a new way, isn't it? Jesus was ushering in a new area. But so we see there it was necessary for this new way that Jesus was bringing in, that, you know, he update these early believers and give them the ground rules straight away so they wouldn't have any misunderstanding and would know about walking in his ways and adhering to his principles and teaching. And so what we see there, you know, many people found his sayings all too hard, you know, they're hard to accept. But and many people even found them offensive. And that happens today, doesn't it? You know, we speak the truth, we speak what we feel is right, and people take offence to it. And so it was the same there for Jesus. But he had to say all these things to, you know, to get it right in their thinking, that mindset, I suppose, that Hans was speaking about this morning, to get things into our heads so we can remind us. But many people today, even you know, who read and hear his sayings, you know, we all so find them hard. Other peoples, you know, they find it hard, and they're not always comfortable talking about the things of God, and sadly they even reject them, don't they, as we know. But what Christ taught, he did. And that should be the principle in our life. What we are taught, we live out, we do, we show others you know, this is the godly way. This is what Christ would have done. And so, you know, we are to do the same. So what Jesus Christ taught, he did. Amen? He did. So as I just said a moment ago, many people who believe in Christ, you know, do not know what he really taught, and many people, you know, they're unaware, and they even don't want to accept many of the things or many of these instructions that Jesus taught, these hard sayings, these teachings, you know. And even the disciples, you know, they declared after hearing Jesus speak, and they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can bear it? Who can live it out?" You know, and the disciples were a little bit confused, I suppose. But you know, the Spirit of God was on them, and even though they lacked understanding, they still went in obedience and followed the things of Christ. And so, you know, as I said, at that time, that these deep truths that Jesus was speaking about, you know, they were misunderstood. And to get one of the things in perspective, we look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 53 down to 59. So Jesus said again, I assure you, and you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. Where am I? All who eat my flesh and drink my blood remain in me, and I in them. I live by the power of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, those who partake of me will live because of me. I am the true bread from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever and not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate manna. And he said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. So there, when you heard that for the first time, did you find that a bit strange or something, or hard to understand, you know? I know I did. When I was really young and I heard that, you know, I sort of squirmed a bit, you know. And, you know, how can this be, you know? So it was a very new thing what Jesus was teaching, you know, to understand, you know, where we've all had glimpses of this sort of thing right through our lives probably. But for the very first time, this is the first time that Jesus said this sort of thing. And, you know, it was all about that people just didn't grasp the spiritual, the significant understanding of what, you know, eating the flesh of the Son and drinking the blood, you know. They probably found it a bit cultish or something, you know, at that time. But what we see there, Jesus said, you know, but he said, I am the true bread from heaven. And anyone who eats this bread will live forever and not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate manna. So he's given that reassurance there. But even so, it would have been hearing that for the very first time would have come, I suppose, as a real shock to them, and grasping hold of that type of saying. But Jesus spoke that, and in Jesus' day, many found, you know, this to be unacceptable. You know, the physical obedience to the word, they didn't have that understanding, and that they couldn't really understand what Christ was ushering in when he said, to know the Father is to know the Son. And they just couldn't grasp hold of this new belief, this new teaching that Jesus was bringing in. Hey, you have to get to know me. You have to understand me to come to know the Father, to get to that place. So there it was, a whole new way of living that the people had to come to accept and understand. So Jesus went about doing that. But what he said to the Pharisees and said about them, you know, that they wouldn't be able to accept this spiritual expansion of the law as long as they held on to their old traditions. You know, we have to let go a lot when we come to know Jesus Christ. There's a lot of stuff we've got to put behind, isn't there? A lot of stuff we've got to leave behind. But there, as Jesus pointed out, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would have, if they weren't prepared to let go the old way of living, the steep tradition of the law as it was then, you know, well, hey, they're not going to make it. And so Jesus pointed that out, and he said, unless you're prepared to let go of these things and come in the new and living way and walking in it, you know, you're not going to do too well in life. But as we know, traditions can be a powerful thing, a wonderful thing. We all have family traditions. We uphold family things we do. But also, some traditions, you know, they can be a stumbling block to us, can't they? They can hold us back, hold us down, because we hang on to that tradition, hang on to that belief, and we say, well, this is what I've always believed. Why change it? This is what I've done. You know, we've always done that. Why should I do something different? And this is a culture, isn't it? Suppose some of you have come out of other denominations, and you know you've had to come to grips with this new Christian way, all this belief in Jesus Christ, and accepting this new living way. And how, you know, that they were encouraged to walk in it. And they were probably asking this question, how can I live this life? How can I live this new life in Christ? And so that's all the part of the thing that we do, isn't it? About encouraging new believers, people coming to Christ, and encouraging them in a new way, a new thing. There about a born again experience that we all have to come to grips with. And people today, you know, they struggle with this concept, don't they? About, you know, if I accept Jesus, you know, I have to change my lifestyle. I've got to change. And that's a real struggle for a lot of people. I'm going to miss out on that. I'm not allowed to do this anymore. All that sort of thing. You know, I have to make changes in my life. But we encourage people, yeah, there will be change. But there will be changes for the better, because you're going to leave a lot of the old things behind. Who feels they've missed out on by accepting Jesus Christ as his Saviour? What have we missed out on? Nothing. Huh? It's a new living way, walk in it. And you know, we can claim that and say that with confidence, can't we? Because of what Christ has done in our lives and for the life that we now experience, that we're free in Christ, amen? And we walk in victory. And we're not bound, we're not carrying a load, we're not dragging a heavy load along, because Jesus set us free. And so, you know, that's the hope we have and the way we walk. But in his Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus just pointed out so many things there about, you know, all the stuff that, you know, that, you know, you're not allowed to do. And he started off, as I said, about the type of people that we need to be. And he spoke about the law. He spoke about anger, about adultery, about divorce, about taking vows, about teaching about revenge, teaching about love for your enemies. He spoke about teaching about giving to the needy. He spoke about teaching about prayer and fasting. And in there, he taught the disciples how to pray. And there, and he spoke about money and possessions. See, it's not new, is it? There, Jesus had to speak about it then. You've got to let go some of these. He spoke about, you know, don't, and said about condemning other people. You know, we can't judge others. He spoke about effective prayer. And about the golden rules, do for others what you would like them to do to you. And he said, for this is the summary of all that is taught in the law of the prophets. He's just upholding what is spoken there. He spoke about entering the narrow gate. He spoke about the tree and its fruit of what type of people would be, about being true disciples. He spoke about building on a solid foundation, and he said, goes on and on there about those teachings. And as he taught the law, then he used the many, many parables to illustrate all these things that he spoke about. So it was about getting the message through and for people to be able to grasp this concept, how to live in the things of Christ. So I feel Jesus there, he just had to reassure that multitude of people as to why he was preaching such things. And I just feel he was saying to them, let's get this straight right from the start so there's no misunderstanding. And he reassured them with the words from in Matthew 5:17 there, where it says, he said, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." God is not in the business of destroying things. It's about upholding and going on. And so that's the message that Jesus was reassuring the people. And so in doing that, he just wanted the people there to have and to display, Christian influence and in their lives and be about as an example to others. We have to be examples. We've said this many times, haven't we, about how we are to show and live godly lives. So others would follow us, so others would want to experience this as the things that we do and come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Saviour. Jesus, he had to confront there with some very tough commandments, these hard sayings. It just had to be said. And so he knew that the people's hearts, just as ours, hearts and attitudes have to change. They had to change their way and commit their way to God with everything they had, with everything. Hans again reminded us that this morning about all our soul, all our mind, all our spirit, everything that we give to God, you know. So Jesus there, he outlined all those spiritual standards, I suppose you could say, with these standards that we, even today, that we have to uphold and maintain, don't we? And so Jesus spoke that way. He had to tell them that unless they were prepared to give everything up and follow him and not look back at what they were leaving behind, and he said, that they weren't fit for the kingdom of God. And that probably would have been a bit disappointment to many. What did he say to the rich young ruler? Same thing, didn't he? As we know, I could probably relate to many things, where people have been very well off and could have helped and influenced the church in many ways, but they've wanted to buy their way in. And, we just can't have that. And that's what Jesus said. Unless you're prepared to drop all these things, put them back there and follow me and give everything, he said, you're not going to be no use for the kingdom. No use. You're not going to fit in. But so, and Jesus spoke there. He said, warned them, about the failure to control what was in the heart, and the mind. We heard again this morning how it can lead to eternal death there. So Jesus said, so don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. There's got to be a spiritual awakening, hasn't it? And I'm sure many of us have come to that place in our Christian walk. We might have accepted Christ and just wandered along, but there had to come to some real place in your life where there was a real spiritual awakening, where there's a real, hey, I'm not going to make it if I don't change. I'm not going to go on if I don't do something different and give my life wholly to Christ. In that way, really let go and to get into there, into things of God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and to do that. So Jesus had to reassure the people, and he said, you've got to be born again. There's got to be a spiritual awakening and a real arousal of yourself and come to life in the things of God. So there we see there, even in Matthew 12, 33 to 36 there, you know, it speaks here, you know, how it reveals character in us. And it clearly tells us there that a tree is identified by its fruit. We all know that, don't we? We get orange trees from apricot trees and so forth and everything. We know what we're getting by the name of the tree sort of thing, but only because we've been taught that. But that's what Jesus is saying, you know, when you grasp hold of my truth, when you walk in my ways and accept all these sayings and teaching of what I'm telling you, you know, you'll be known as people of righteousness, and you're going to produce good fruit and all that type of thing. And we know that we can only be these things, you know, good fruits, if we have clean hearts, haven't we? We know that. You know, what did David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, didn't he? And renew a right spirit within me. We've got to have the right spirit. We can have a spirit, but it's not always the right spirit if we're not walking in God's ways and looking to him. So I think Hans pointed that out also this morning about the kingdom of God is in our hearts, isn't it? We have to have a real heartfelt experience for things and things of God. And that was what Jesus was trying to reinforce upon all these early converts, all these new believers, and who were all flocking to see this man Jesus. And he said, marvel not, the truth is no one can enter the kingdom without being born of water and the Spirit. And so many there, they probably found that hard to accept. And even today, people still want to be a part of the kingdom with no strings attached. You know, they want all the benefits of coming to a church. They want all the things that go with it, but yet they don't want to commit to it. They just want to be partakers in that sense, takers. But they want the kingdom, but not the commitment. It's like in any sporting team, a lot of people there, they want to play on Saturday, don't they? But they don't want to train during the week, you know? They just want the easy ride. I want a game on Saturday, but too bad, I'm too busy, whatever, I can't come and train. But, you know, they want all the glory and be the partakers. But, you know, we can't be like that as Christians, can we? We've got to enter in and be committed to Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing in our lives. He is the number one person in our lives. You know, to have that a real heartfelt commitment and come be subservient to the things of God and walking in his way, looking to him, coming to know Jesus and having as a relationship with him and counting all that as pure joy. You know, as Paul said, you know, about, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's a verse that, you know, that we want to cling to. It's a verse that we have a hope in and to draw upon, you know, when we do get a little bit shaken. But it's so important, isn't it, you know, about that there, that, you know, Jesus paid the price for us, didn't he? He made that sacrifice. So we have to sacrifice many things, I suppose, you know, at different times there. We can't, there's a lot of things we want to do, a lot of places we might like to go and be. You know, we have to make a decision, don't we? And to say, that this is where God would want me to be. This is where I feel the Lord would have me and wants me. And so there, you know, we make that decision. We make a conscious decision and say, no, I gave my heart to God and I'm going to follow his ways, walk in his ways, look to him, and I'm going to serve him wholly with all my heart and soul. And so we do that, and we see it as joy. And I'm sure you would say, well, you know, I wouldn't want it any other way. That's all I want. That's all I want, to serve the Lord with all my heart and soul. And so something we've spoken about a lot and we hear often, you know, it's a full commitment, isn't it? So we do that there. So just in closing, you know, I just want to encourage you. And we all know each other, and I know you're all committed to the things of God. You made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. So encourage you, you know, that to continue to walk in his ways, to continue to walk in his will. It's that's what God wants, doesn't he? You know, if we're seeking his will, asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to speak to? What should I do today? And God's always laying something on your hearts. We know we have this thing called a conscience, but we know it's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit prompts, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit prompts. He reminds us of certain things, of things, you know, and it's always churning over in our mind, isn't it? The things of God. The Spirit never leaves us, does it? And so I think we all know and understand that so much and so well, you know, that how the presence of God, because God says, I will never leave you, forsake you. And so that's that thing that's with us. The presence of God is always with us and upon us. And so, you know, we have that confidence to go on, to walk on, to reach out, to be confident in everything we do, because, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and God is there. God is there. And he will never leave you nor forsake him. So I'll close with that tonight, and I just trust that, that we won't shy back, you know, from speaking the truth to people. You know, as I said, often the truth might hurt, but if we speak the truth in the right way and we don't cause offence, and it's just speak to people in the right way. I don't think many of us, you know, we don't like being told, do we? But there are times when we have to be told. There are times when we have to accept something that is said to us. We mightn't like it, but it's usually, mostly, always helpful if it's spoken in the right way and delivered in the right way that God would have, in the way that Jesus said, because the Spirit of God is on us, within us, and as we speak, we can be just a tremendous a source of encouragement to each other. When we do the things that the Word of God says, all these things that Jesus laid out, so we don't have an excuse. There's no excuse, you know, for the things that sometimes we do. You know, we know it's in God's Word, the things that we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. But it's mostly all about positive way, a way that you can live and lead a victorious life in. So, Lord God, we just bless you and thank you, Father God. Lord, that your heart is toward us, Father God. Your Spirit is upon us and with us. Lord, that we can look to you. We have that confidence and hope in you, Lord God. Lord, for your Word that shows us so clearly, this is the way, and walk ye in it. For you are holy, you are precious, a peculiar people. People, we belong to God, amen? We belong to God, we are God's people. Our brother Noel shared that last week about the type of people that we are, you know, that we are that peculiar people, that we are to look to God and to have that dependence upon him. So, Lord, let us be that people you want us to be. Let us be that people who would look to you, who would cry out to you, because we know, Lord, you hear our cry, and Lord, you answer and meet our every need. So, Father God, just take us into this coming week, Lord, for the week ahead, Lord. Let us be the people that you would want us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.